Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
What time is it? Showtime. The brothers discuss sports and provide betting tips. The best kept secret in sports investing. Please welcome Bolt Brady and his bro.
All right, what's happening? We are back in the house after a little bit of a break, but this is Bolt Brady and his bro. It's your favorite place to get your sports gambling information. Let's welcome in our guy back from the beach.
What's happening? Let's start to fire up the action again.
Let's do it.
So the listeners probably want to know what you've been up to, big guy.
Oh, post-Super Bowl? Oh, no, we cheated after the match. We cheated Masters. Yeah.
The Masters picks went 2-1, by the way, but we'll get to those later.
You know, just a little bit of me time.
Nice, working out.
Yeah, a little insanity. Max 30 in the garage. Family time.
Noticed your pipes are getting a little bit bigger.
Yeah, thanks. And then always a little golf if I can squeeze that in. So, you and I have a golf trip coming up next week. So, been working on the game. Get ready to meet our boy, Big Brett, and we're heading to Nebraska.
Yep.
How about you?
Well, as you know, last week had the 10-year anniversary, being married 10 years.
Oh, yes, congrats.
And what was funny is, like, I was telling Mom, is the first thing I thought of was the, well, of course, all the great years that we've had together, and the boys and all that, and then the best man speech. Because I just remember people got quite the kick out of when you were talking about me being the big high roller in Vegas. Remember?
Yes. I don't know if I have time for the whole story.
But. Well, I'll tell the quick version of it. I show up at the hotel to meet my brother and our two cousins for a good time in Vegas. And I get a bellman to go up to the room. And, of course, I've got to tip the guy, being a former bellman myself.
Well, I think we skipped a step here back in the beginning.
What was it?
I think you came into town on fumes, chip-wise.
Oh, no chips?
Down at the bellman, you go, hey, bro, I don't have cash on me, but if you give me a $10 bill, I'll give you $20 in like a half an hour. He's like, okay, I'll take that deal.
Wait, I said, can you spot?
No, you give me 10 bones, I'll give you 20 in 30 minutes.
All right, we'll go with that.
So
it was a long time ago.
The guy gives you the 10 spot, and you proceed to meet me and the cousins on, like, the Vegas Strip for some drinks. And we see this bachelorette party eventually, and they're doing one of those kind of lame checklist things, like, all right, take a picture with a group of guys over 12, you know, 12 dudes. So they took the pic, they threw us these beads and these tokens for, like, Becky's bachelorette party. Fast forward to our room, you call down for your golf clubs and your luggage, and a different bellman brings them up. He's like, oh, yeah, what's up, man? You know, Jimmy downstairs says you owe him 20 bones. Oh, yep, I'm on my way down. I'll hook him up. And then you go to the top of the TV stand, and you grab some poker chips. Go, hey, bro, this one's for you. And he shuts the door, and I go, dude, those are Becky's bachelorette tokens. Those aren't worth squat.
That guy was juiced.
So now you got two bellmen downstairs. Wow. That guy hooked us both up.
Sorry, fellas. It was many, many years ago.
So next time you roll into Vegas to the Circa,
yep.
You need some more chips in your pocket.
Except it wasn't the Circa. It was some.
Oh, no. It was like
it was on the Strip, but it was a beater hotel.
Yeah, it wasn't Tropicana, but it was an old school one for sure.
So anyway, I remembered that.
So let's touch on the NBA here, since we last night was game 5.
Yep.
The War Dogs. That was a good team win because, you know, Big Steph, who's been carrying the load the rest of the series, was as cold as he's been in since 2018. 233 games with a three-pointer came to an end.
Right. I know. That's kind of bogus.
Draymond was more assertive, but, I mean, still only had 8 points.
Well, hold on, though, because some of our listeners took advantage of the tweet that I sent out last night. Big Ross included, JR, because I said, you know, I said that Draymond's going to come out and ball. I'm like, he's been taking so much crap from the media. You know, the Boston fans getting on him. His over-under on assist, rebounds, and points was 21.5. And I said, let's take the over there. Let's go, Dre. And even in the foul trouble, he got the W for us.
Mm-hmm.
So, anyway, if you dig into Dre's stats, I mean, yes, he's played better. But, like, in Boston for game four, you know, they were totally ripping him. And I'm like, I guess everyone's overlooking that he led the team in assists with 8 and only had 2 turnovers. So a 4-to-1 assist to turnover ratio is really, really good. Oh, and I guess we're not going to look at the 4 steals he had, too. So I think it's kind of the national narrative to knock him right now. He's still balling.
Oh, yeah. I mean, what he brings to the team, you can't always measure, you know, as a lot of people know that follow hoops. I mean, he runs the show. He's kind of at the top of the key there. And then on the wing on the right, it kind of looks like the triangle with the Bulls, how they used to run it. And there's so many different options. Those guys can use a screen, go back door, pop back to the corner for a 3, or he can swing it to the guy on the weak side. And he's just so smart with what option he sees open. You know, you're not going to see that in the box score. He had 8 points, and I think they said when he scores like 8 or more, their winning percentage is in the 90s.
Really?
Like over 900, per, you know. So, I mean, what he does, you can't measure. He's huge for that team.
And he's also like covering Robert Williams III, who's just a beast down low.
Yep.
I mean, he's like 6'9", but I looked into it. His wingspan's 7'6".
Oh, he feels... Oh, you're talking about whose wingspan?
Robert Williams. I mean, I know...
Oh, I think he's taller than 6'9".
I thought he was, too, but I looked it up.
He feels like a 6'10 plus with, like, the long... I mean, he tips every ball that comes down in there in terms of those guys trying to shoot over him.
That's what I'm saying. That's why I looked into it, the 7'6" wingspan. So for those of you who don't know, if you spread your arms out to the side... Typically, however tall you are, that's what the length is going to be from, you know, one finger to the next on the other side. Well, not this guy. I mean, he's 7'6". And even Draymond is long, too. He's 7'1", and he's known for that. But 5 more inches, I mean, Robert Williams is balling. Like, if that, luckily, the guy's a little bit hurt because he's causing havoc.
Yeah, his knee's dinged up, so his minutes are down. I mean, he makes a big problem in the middle when he's in. But in the refs, you know, some of it's, you know, I don't know if it's which team you're pulling for. You feel like it's ticky tack. But when these guys go to the hoop, they kind of let a lot of that go. They're letting the guy who's on defense jump, own his space, and come back down. Mm-hmm. And they're not bailing him out with, like, those little weak calls.
But then they fall for, like, the shitty flop calls.
That's, yeah.
I mean, Smart needs to throw on the soccer uniform here pretty soon. The guy flops so much, it's unreal.
But then Poole kind of got him back with that little face towards the end there.
Right.
Where they Smart was about to blow his top and get the second tee.
Right. Well, let's talk here a little bit about, well, first of all, what's been great for me personally is I know why they call it the Chase Center, because that thing's been a small ATM machine here lately.
Mm-hmm.
So the Warriors are 11-1 at home in the playoffs. And I think I've pretty much taken them every time. This is straight up. I think they're 8-3 against the spread, but I don't even mess with the spread. Like when it's 3 or 4 points, I just go money line. And so,
they lost game one, was the only loss then of the finals.
That's correct. Not even of the finals, of the playoffs.
No, I know that's the only loss at home of the playoffs.
Exactly. And I got drilled there.
Yeah, that was a tough opener.
Because I had won like 8 in a row. So I was like, let's stack her up. And then I'm like, oh, wow, game one. But anyway, you still ride the War Dogs at home. I mean, good luck beating them at home.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the thing, is after game four, I just can't believe how many so-called experts thought that Boston was going to come in and win the ball game last night. No chance.
Yeah. I mean, a lot of the ESPN guys early on kind of actually had the Warriors last night, which was good to see. But just speaking of how much money the Chase is bringing in, they said The Warriors make about 15 mil right now per home game on these finals.
Really?
And they said, you know, they're way over the luxury tax compared to other teams. 170 mil that they're going to pay over in luxury tax.
Really?
Yeah, and they, you know, a good NBA team, I guess, makes about $200 million in profit for a season. And they're going to be in the 700 mil range this year.
For profit.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, that's legit.
So they're like, you know, this is kind of getting to some of those expensive, like, baseball team era, like, Yankees-ish, where they, like, we'll spend the dough here if we're going to make this deep of a run.
Except a little bit different than the Yanks. They actually get to the championship and win Ws, get Ws. Because I noticed in the last 8 years, the War Dogs have been to the final six. I mean, good try, guys.
Yeah, I mean, you take out Clay's injuries, and then, you know, the COVID year, they didn't even make the bubble, so they weren't fully steam ahead there.
No, exactly. And so if they win this bad boy, they're going to be 4-2. That's kind of going to add to their legacy there. I mean, Big Steph's kind of a baller. Like, wish he'd play a little bit more D, and they keep talking about his D's better. But as far as the offensive side of the ball goes, that guy's one of the best of all time.
Yeah, you can tell he's got that little chip this year. He wants that finals MVP, so everyone kind of zips it on that topic.
Well, last night, I don't know if you saw the stat, but they put him up against Mike J. Like, the first four games of a final series, Steph has averaged the most ever. It was 34 a game until last night.
Mm-hmm.
And MJ was 30. And they were comparing the stats. I'm like, whoa, MJ was shooting 49% from three ball. And then they showed how much the game has changed. Lee cow. In those first four games, Steph has launched 51 three balls. MJ, in four games, launched 4 three balls.
Right.
Wow.
That's crazy.
Is that nuts or what? So MJ was 2-for-4, and that's where they got the 50% from three ball. And then you got Big Steph, who literally the game before that was like 13-for-24 from three ball.
Yeah, I mean, he takes at least 11 or 12 a game.
Yeah, I mean, so...
And it's not just him. That's what's hard to watch. It's like both these teams jack up the three. I mean, I know that's where the game is. But, you know, outside of two or three dudes on your team, you should not have that many guys taking them. But they leave them open, so someone like Smart, who's a shade better than like Draymond is, obviously, but they leave those guys open, they throw the threes up.
Right. Yeah, well, that was the thing about the Celtics last night is they almost made a little run there. They started off the game 0-for-9 with the three balls, and then heading into the third quarter, they'd made 8 in a row, and that's when they actually took the lead from the War Dogs, and I go, come on, guys.
Uh-huh.
They're up by 1, but then the War Dogs went into the fourth quarter and scored the first 7, and they go, that's ball game. We'll see you later, Celts.
Yeah, they withstood that third quarter charge there, and they came back, and then Poole's little bank shot to end the quarter. Huge.
Large.
Huge momentum swing, just for the building, you know, mm-hmm. All right, let's do this. We're back up top going into the fourth.
Right. Yeah, it was awesome. I mean, they stayed off going 3-1 because the War Dogs didn't want to be down 3-1 because there's been 35 instances where a team's had the 3-1 lead. And only one time has the team come back to win it, and that was your 2016 Cleveland Cavs with LeBron against the War Dogs. So they knew they had to win the game in Boston. They came back, took care of biz here, and what do you think about the next game? The big Celts at home now.
I like the Warriors. You know, I just it's even more in their favor, I think, because Steph had the poor game. I think he's got to be a little fired up. He's like, all right, thanks, guys, for last night. Let me take it here. And then Clay, you know, he's got that little moniker called Game 6 Clay. I think he'll step up and hit some three balls, too, to help him out.
That'd be legit. Well, I don't know which way I would go on that. In fact, I'm not going to play the game pre-flop before it starts. I'll in-game it as usual. But I do think the pressure's on Big Boston now, big time.
Yeah, they, you know, Tatum's a solid player. You know, he's 25. He can do a lot of things. He looked great early in the playoffs. Like, when I saw him against KD in the Nets, I'm like, wow, this guy's really kind of coming into his own. He's D'ing up Durant. He's making some big shots. But as you know, the finals, he's tightening up, and he's terrible at the end of the game, as they've shown some of those numbers.
Oh, yeah, well... And the numbers are in the War Dogs' favor right now because when you're ahead 3-2 in the finals, the guys that have the three wins win 80% of the time.
Mm.
So
I saw Jalen Rose had an interesting fact on Tatum, too. He said throughout the whole season, Tatum ranked in the top five for guys for most shots missed within the key, like finishing at the rim. And you can kind of see it in the finals. Like he goes and attacks, and instead of dunking it, he kind of tries to do like a finger roll or like a little floater. And he's looking at the ref for the call a lot of the time. And he just doesn't make those close ones like he should in clutch time.
Well, one of these days, someone's going to tell these guys, let's pump a little iron here, guys.
Mm-hmm.
Let's start to get the yolks going. Okay. I mean, that was like I was telling the boys, that's the big difference between Mike J and like Steph. You know, like Steph. Obviously, Steph goes to the rack, but he does, like, these crazy shots, like, fading away and stuff, because he can't take, really, the body hits. Like
He has to give him a little credit. He's gotten bigger and stronger than he was. I mean, his legs and his pipes look better than they used to, and Kerr said, he's like, people don't know about his conditioning and how much more he's put in since I've been here into his body.
Yeah, no, you can tell. And, I mean, his conditioning's great because he plays a boatload of minutes.
Well, and like last night, they were in his jock. I mean, like Smart's not even looking at the ball. They went kind of that old school, like, just deny him the ball. And then they put Tatum on him, who's long and 6'8".
Right.
So, I mean, he has to kind of stay in motion, get someone to bump someone for him.
And he's basically, that's basically the equivalent in football when they're stacking eight in the box. Like, the receivers better get open. And so, Steph was like the running back last night with eight in the box.
Barry Sanders.
And he's going, guys, let's get open on the outside. So. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was a good game. It's over with, Celt. Thanks for playing. The only thing that we're wondering here is if you're going down in game six or seven. And if it does go game seven, holy cow, ladies and gentlemen. I mean, when you get these so-called experts out there, if any of them talk about the Celtics having a chance winning game seven, they're dead wrong. That's not happening.
I would think Boston's going to be favored by like three here at home.
It's actually four.
Okay.
Yeah, but... Well, and I'm glad you bring that up. So here's the thing. You may have noticed that the line has not come into play barely at all in the playoffs.
Well, in the finals, every single win has been double digits.
Right. And so this guy, what's his name? Michaels, I think, from Wager Talk. He pointed out before the finals started, like, the last 60 finals games, like, the point spread only came into play, like, once or twice. It just never does. So it's either like the favorites are going to win and cover the spread or, you know, the dogs are going to win straight up. So, yeah, that line doesn't really matter. I mean,
you've said that in the NFL before. It's like the percentage was pretty high in terms of when the line doesn't even come into play.
Mm-hmm. I'll just tell you right now, if this game goes seven, wow, I can't push all my chips into the middle of the stack faster than that. Just war dogs.
Yeah. I mean, it has a chance to. I don't think we're coming back. I think the Warriors know what they're like. Let's wrap this up. These guys kind of have that look in their eye like, holy cow.
I would say, though, that my play for game five, and we can probably take it into the golf after this, if you don't mind, if you mm-hmm. want. I would say let's play the under in game five. 211 is the under.
Okay.
All righty.
All right. Well, we got a 2-for-1 here episode. Let's we chitted hoops. Let's go U.S. Open Golf Week, which is always a fun one.
It sure is. Yeah, like I said earlier in the podcast, the Masters went pretty well for us. 2-1 on the matchup best bets.
Mm-hmm.
The winners, P. Reed versus Tigray. We also had Burns versus Chambeau. And the only loser was Big Rose versus Sergio.
Okay.
So, but we'll take 66%. Let's try to keep going that here on the U.S. Open. What do you say?
Yep. I always love the U.S. Open, the tough test. It's obviously got a little bit of a media headbutt here from the other LIV associations. They're kind of focusing on that more than they are the U.S. Open currently.
Mm-hmm. I do think that there's some opportunity there because of that. And I might as well jump right into best bet or two here.
Sure. Well, in terms of the guys that are distracted that aren't going to play very well.
Okay, let's talk about being distracted. Did you see Big Phil Mick in his interview?
Yeah, just he knew to stay calm. You know, I don't know if he was like consulted by a crisis manager before this week.
Right.
You know, and his mom's come out saying like, you know, it's just been great family time, him at home. I've never seen a calmer Phil. The facial hair's out, blah, blah, blah. You know, there's no logos on the gear. It's just his little credit card guy jumping up, celebrating that Masters victory.
Right.
But yes, you know, did said little, as if anyone saw it would know. But yeah, it's that's going to be tough for him to play well.
I heard this one guy, it was pretty funny, he was talking about Phil growing out the stubble on his face. And he's like, dude, he's like Hulk Hogan when Hulk went bad. Remember Hulk?
Oh!
Hulk had like the dark black beard.
That's right.
That's Phil right now. So I was looking everywhere for Phil matchups because Phil had always been, you know, a man of the people. And currently, I don't think that's where he stands. And Phil has obviously got a very tough head. I mean, anyone that plays golf has to have the dome game. But there's a different dome game when everyone's not backing you up, you know?
Well, I think we saw that with Tiger in 08.
Exactly.
When everyone found out the personal, it's like, wow, this gallery, as I've over the ball here, is thinking differently now of me.
Exactly. And I was thinking that exact same situation. So now that's Big Phil. And so I was looking for all these matchups, and like two of my books didn't even have a Phil matchup. And I found one, luckily, against, you usually know the random players, Joel Dahlman.
Joel Dahlman, yeah. he usually wears the bucket hat.
Exactly, the bucket hat.
And so, maybe the zinc sunscreen just slapped all over the nose.
Not really a household name. But I looked into Joel. So Joel is favored against Phil, okay, minus 185. And I looked into Joel. Joel's actually currently ranked 75th in the FedEx standings compared to, like, Phil at 220. Now, Phil hasn't played in a few tournaments, obviously. But he's even ahead of, like, Justin Rose and Sergio. I mean, if you're ranked 75th in the FedEx, it's not like you're a sap. And I went back and I looked at his past tournaments. And, like, out of the top five, three of them he did, like, you know, top 25, two missed cuts. But if you look at Philly, I mean, Phil hasn't done squat.
He hasn't played on U.S. soil since, like, the Farmers, you know, late January, I don't think.
I mean, anytime you look at his results, it was garb. Even in the live, I took Charles. Charles. And he was favored against Phil. And I even sent it to a couple of our boys. I don't think anyone hopped on it because they're like, nah. And I'm like, you're bad. Like, Philly just doesn't have it right now. And unfortunately, I can only find one person, but I took Joel last night at minus 185, and I looked at it again today, and it's actually jumped up to minus 260. And so someone is throwing big chips on that. I think Mattress Mac might have like a wiretap in my office or something. Because I don't recall like a golf line moving that much, and that's a boatload. But apparently there's some big chippers that agree with me on this one.
Yeah, you know, but this thing's taking place in Brookline, Massachusetts, which, you know, you can get some tuned up Boston people, which, you know, this will be really interesting to see if they, you know, spit out a couple things towards Philly Chez.
Mm-hmm. Especially if the War Dogs beat them on Thursday night.
Yeah.
They're going to be in a shitty mood.
They're like, let's go heckle Phil.
Yeah, let's get him Phil's dome.
Or DeChambeau.
Well, so that's the other thing. So Bryson, you know, like I said, we went against Bryson in the Masters, and that worked out for us. That was more of, he just hadn't been playing. He's coming off an injury. Bryson and both Patrick Reed, you know, are in the live. They're coming aboard. Those two guys, though, different than Phil, those guys have been the villain, you know, for quite some time, especially Patrick.
Yeah.
I don't think they really sweat it. I mean, I know Patrick
does. I think Reed's, you know, one with his own family in college, you know, accused of cheating, transferred colleges twice. He's like, whatever.
I mean, does Patrick even have a friend besides his wife and brother-in-law in the bag?
No.
Yeah, I don't think so. So he's like, whatever. Bryson, yeah, I mean, but I don't think it's going to affect him as much as Phil.
Bryson hasn't sniffed, like, playing well in a long time. I think he hurt his body chasing that power long drive swing, and like he's not back to being anything like he should be yet.
Well, to give you an indication, his odds to win this U.S. Open are 80-1. I mean, get serious.
Yeah, I mean, it's not just like hitting the ball well. He hasn't been putting. He hasn't been doing anything consistently.
No, and this isn't the right time to like turn the game on for the U.S. Open.
Nope.
Did you see what happened or hear what happened with your boy Jordo and Kevin Na? Did you hear about that?
No.
So Jordo was going out to the practice round at the U.S. Open, and he went up to big Billy Horschel and said, hey, you know, congratulations on the win a couple weeks ago. And big Kev Na was right there, and Kev gave him the head nod, like, hey, what's up, bud? And Jordo just walked away, didn't even acknowledge him.
They have any footage of it, or someone just said they saw that?
I mean, I saw a picture of it. Like, it showed them on the box. I'm sure there's footage of it somewhere, so you can go YouTube that and check out your boy.
Hmm.
But the reason why I'm bringing that up also is Kev Na, another one that I don't think is going to have the dome game this week.
And he's one of your favorite guys to root for, typically, because he's such a grinder.
Exactly, exactly. So you're right. I've never gone against Kev before. If anything, I take him. But this is one time where I'm taking Big Brian Harman, a.k.a. Wilt Chamberlain.
he's the little lefty. Looks like Mark Wahlberg.
Exactly. For people that don't know him, he looks like Mark Wahlberg. And is he the 5'5"?
Yeah, I mean, he's a good golfer, and he steps up sometimes. But yeah, I would take him here.
Yeah. I think he's probably 5'7", maybe.
Yeah.
He just doesn't look very big, but he's very accurate. And they've got him -148 against Kev. I think Kev is going to buckle and just try to go back into his shell this week. It's not going to be pretty, I don't think, for Kev.
Yeah, I mean, anyone associated with Liv, it's going to be just the spotlight on him to see how they're doing, you know, what the galleries are saying to some of these guys.
Mm-hmm. How do you think Big DJ is going to react to it?
I think the thing that he did, which is a little interesting, is he declined to speak to the media the first part of this week. So I think he's like, I'm just going to step out there and play and kind of deal with it later.
Really?
Yeah, he didn't set up a press conference this week. And Phil's like, I'm knocking this thing out Monday. Let's get this over with.
Well, DJ's like, well, the PGA can't bust me for anything. So
no.
That was the thing, speaking of Kevin Na, you know, Kevin was the one that, like, resigned from the PGA.
A few of them have.
And I read the reason for that is because, so they can still get their pension. So, like, if they get, like, you know, kicked off or anything against them, then they like wouldn't receive their pension. So they're like, I'm out of here before anything happens to them.
Mm-hmm.
So that was interesting because, you know, Kev's been on the tour forever.
Yeah, for sure. That, I mean, that's why Phil won't step. He's like, you know, I earned this. It's over 30 years. I'm a lifetime member. I'm not resigning my membership.
Right. And he goes, and I've brought this tour a small amount of chips.
Did you, had you heard what LIV stood for before I mentioned it?
I did not. Why don't you tell the listeners?
Yeah, the LIV is the Roman numeral 54, and the LIV plays 54 holes of golf instead of 72. So it's just the three-day format for that one. So I'm like, huh, I didn't know what it meant.
Nope. I know. That's very good information to have. And also the thing that's different about that tour is they play the shotgun start.
Mm-hmm.
So not everyone goes off at hole number one. They're spread out throughout the course, which is interesting.
Which is usually reserved for your
weekend warrior.
Yeah, or, you know, your shotgun and the beers with your buds, shotgun start.
So did you get a chance to look at anything that you like in this?
Yeah, certainly. You know, Jordan's always one of my favorite guys to pull for. But I saw this like last year, I think, and I still kind of was blinded by it. But since he won at Chambers Bay 2015, you know, he was 21 years old, and his caddy hails from those parts and knew that course like the backside of his hand. And that course played a little differently. It was links, and it was not well received. I don't know if you remember, Fox had it on their coverage.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Jordo has not top 15 at U.S. Open, I don't think, since he won that one.
Really?
So he doesn't fare well. I mean, he's playing really well this year, or better than he has been. You know, he's trending well.
He's number 10, I think, in the world right now.
Yeah, I mean, Jordan's having a good year. I wouldn't go with him, but the guy I did kind of spotlight last year's Masters, Zalatoris, he's his last six tournaments. He missed two cuts, but the other four, he's top 10, one being the PGA champ. He ended up taking second, but I think it's Big Willie Z. I like his odds this week.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Well, so listen, he's one of the best iron players in the world. He's a great ball striker, and he's getting closer and closer, but he still doesn't have a W on the tour, because this is only his second year, I think, right?
Uh-huh.
And I just don't think a major is where he gets his first tour win, you know? So I'm with you. I like him and stuff, but not to get his first win as a major.
I mean, sometimes the U.S. Open, you get in the house and, like, sometimes the field backs it up and gives it to you. I mean, these things play so hard. So if he's playing well and he's there, I mean, he was right there at the PGA.
Well, but then what happened? He crumbled because he doesn't know how to win on the tour.
Well, he came up against, like, a little bit more of a veteran, you know, and some extra holes there. I mean, well, that was the hair away from.
No. Well, that's the thing about these is, you're right. It's usually one of the best players in the world. Like, when I was looking at this, I'm like, man, I can't see anyone but, like, one of the top guys winning this. And sure enough, a lot like the Masters, since 2010, every winner has come within the top 30 in the world rankings. So you're right. You got to beat the big dogs on this. And I just, you know, he can't beat the big dogs for a regular tour event. How's he going to do it for a major? So,
well,
push Will off to the side for a couple more years.
You see guys like a Charles Schwartzel or a Trevor Immelman sneak in and win a Masters. It's like that stage is as big as it gets. The course plays a little different than the U.S. Open. You can kind of get away with spraying a tee shot or something, but those guys stepped up and won a major. You know, there's a time where they can do it.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it happens. But, you know, I like to go with a little bit more history and statistics to back things up.
Sure. Who do you like?
Well, to be honest, I've always said, like, picking the winner of a golf tournament's the needle in the haystack.
Oh, yeah. It's one of the hardest things to do.
And so, you know, every play, the listeners might not know this, but every play that I give out best bet, I'm throwing my own chippers on that too, because it's amazing. A lot of these people out there that give out plays, they don't even put their own chips on it. So what's that tell you? But so I'm not going to give out something that I'm not going to want the listeners to get on. And I'm not even going to look at who's going to win the tournament. I mean, like I've said before in golf, I wait until the Friday round is over with. And then I'll throw chippers on someone.
But you love the head-to-heads.
Oh, yeah. No, the head-to-heads are unreal. I start the tourney with those. That's where the best bets are right now, where we've got Joel and we've got Brian. And I've got one more here for us. Those are for the entire tournament. And then after each round, I do the daily head-to-heads. And it doesn't get any better than that. I mean, that's some of my favorite places to make the chippers.
Mm-hmm.
One more best bet that I've got for you. Would you like me to give it to you now?
Yep, let's hit us with it.
Well, going with that trend against the LIV players, okay, and Big DJ, there's a guy by the name of Hideki. And I'll take Hideki over DJ minus 148.
Mm. Yeah, Hideki we last saw at the Memorial had a little spray paint on the 3-wood. Just kind of marking the center of his ball. I don't know if you noticed it, but you can't change the surface of the club. And he was DQ'd for too much paint on the face.
I remember one of our friends was telling me that. I'm like, dude, how did they know that? And once again, it was a viewer that called.
Oh, gosh, I hate when those guys. I thought they were going to do away with that rule where someone calls in and they notice, like, the sand move or something.
Oh, really?
They've talked about it. But, yeah, that I didn't know it was a viewer that spotted that one.
Yeah, you know, the following the rules in golf is always very, you know, unique and strange in the sense that there's not like a referee out there, right? You've got to like police yourself. And remember when I went to the golf tournament in San Jose and who was our boy that was from Stockton that won the amateur? He was the top amateur from Stockton. He went to U of A. He's probably like,
oh, his dad was like an NFL punter.
He was
Ricky Barnes.
Yes, Ricky Barnes. Thank you. And Ricky Barnes was calling out. I was in San Jose. This was like Jiminy Christmas. I don't even know how many years ago. Probably like 8 years ago. And he thought that the guy went out of bounds, like the hazard, and thought it was further back than the player. And Ricky was yelling at the guy. And you never see those things on the PGA Tour. It was so legit to see.
Hmm.
But yeah, because, you know, it's different than like football or basketball or something where there's actually a referee. You know, the players kind of have to police themselves.
Well, yeah, it's their livelihood. And, you know, you're playing to advance if it's like a qualifier or something. It's like, hey, bud, nope, that's not where it was.
And you're playing for the chippers.
Yeah, one other guy who has played well of late in this year, Max Homa. I like him.
Mm. Yeah, that's a national narrative right now, big Max Homa.
Well, he's playing with my boy Jordo, so it's Adam Scott, Jordo, and Homa. So that's a good pairing.
Yeah, you were saying that it kicks off super early, which is so legit when we're on the West Coast.
Yeah, we're West Coast, so you know the Peacock Network, 3:45 a.m. you can catch her if you're up cooler.
Oh, that's so legit, dude. If I wasn't married with kids, I'd do that in a second.
Wouldn't even hit the sack. Just keep her up.
Yep, take her out, let her rip, come back, watch the U.S. Open. That's a pretty legit night right there.
Yep. you know, some people will throw in like a Scheffler or a Burns who are having good years. Brooks is too dinged up, hasn't been playing enough, and just got married. I think his mind's a little elsewhere.
Well, that, and also, like, you know, there's a chatter that he's taken off for the live.
Oh, I think he probably is.
Mm-hmm.
Cam Smith, probably top five, but I'm going with Willie Z for the dub here.
Okay, well, you mentioned Burns. I'll top 10 Burns. He's balling.
Yeah, he's solid.
Mm-hmm. So you want me to go over the best bettors here one more time?
Sure.
All right, Joel versus Phil. Then Brian Harman versus Kev Na. And lastly, Hideki versus DJ.
I like him.
Let's do it.
Okay, well, it was good to be back, catch up with all you guys. Enjoy the NBA Finals. I think it's wrapping up Thursday night. Could possibly be going to Sunday Game 7, which would be fun too. And enjoy Father's Day weekend and the U.S. Open. Can't get better than that.
Alrighty then.
We'll catch you guys later.
See ya.